You may be seated. Good morning, and thank you for coming. It's good to be with you today. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and in verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." I'm committed to speaking as the oracles of God. And should you hear something spoken that you believe strikes a discord with what the Book of Truth says, I hope that you do for me what Aquila and Priscilla did for Apollos. When they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It's my intention to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Encourage you to get your Bible and come with us back to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers gets its name from the numbering of the children of Israel recorded twice in the book, in chapters 1 and 26. In Numbers chapter 1 and in verse 2, in the wilderness of Sinai, the Lord spake unto Moses, "Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families by the house of their fathers, with their number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel." And thus you have the first numbering of the children of Israel. And then the second occasion is in Moab, when in chapter 26 you have the sum. In verse 2, "Take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel." What's significant about the second numbering of the children of Israel is this statement made in Numbers 26, verses 64 and 65. It is said with reference to the second numbering of the children of Israel, "But among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." That's quite a statement, isn't it? You might underscore in your Bible, "There was not a man of them. There was not left a man of them, save Caleb and Joshua." I'm wondering why that is. Why was there not a man, save Caleb and Joshua? The fact that there was not a man of them who Moses and Aaron the priest numbered, when the number of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai, save Caleb and Joshua, makes some things stand out. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from the fact that there was not a man of them, save Caleb and Joshua. And I'd like to share some of those in our study today. When I think about the fact that there was not a man, save Caleb and Joshua, the first thing that impresses me is the fact that God means what he says. Why was it that there was not left a man of them save Caleb and Joshua? Notice in Numbers 26 and in verse 65, here's the reason. "For the Lord had said of them," what had the Lord said of them? "They shall surely die in the wilderness." That tells me that God means what he says. When God said they shall surely die in the wilderness, do you think he meant that? The fact that there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua tells me God meant that. That God meant what he said. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 28 through 35, that's exactly what God said. He said, "As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Notice God said in verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And again in verse 32, as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And in verse 33, your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. In verse 35, he said, in this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Did God mean that? Absolutely, he did. God means what he says. When God said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and in this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die, it happened just as God said. And so notice in Numbers 26, 64, and 65, why there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered, save Caleb and Joshua. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And what God said would happen, happened. And so one of the things that stands out from the fact that there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua is the fact that God means what he says. We need to take the Lord at his word. But also when I think about not a man, there's another impression made upon my mind, and that is the fact that I ought not complain. Are you aware that one of the reasons there was not a man left save Caleb and Joshua is because of complaining? In Numbers 14 and in verse 1, it is written, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured, underscore the word murmured, that is, they complained, against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. That's Numbers 14, 1 through 4. You know what they're doing? They're complaining. And then in verse 26, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? Notice that when the congregation murmured, they go down in history as this evil congregation. That's how God felt about his people when they murmured, when they complained. This evil congregation which murmur against me. He said, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Notice in verse 2, the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. But the Lord said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. When they spake against Moses and against Aaron, what were they doing? They were murmuring against the Lord. And the Lord said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. What does that tell you? That when you complain, God hears that. And then he said, say unto them, say unto who? Them that are murmuring, those that are complaining, those who are not satisfied, those who are discontent, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. You remember what they had said? Would God we had died in this wilderness. Now that's what's going to happen. They're going to get their wish. Would God that we had died in this wilderness. He said, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years and old and upward. Now listen, which have murmured against me. Why would they not enter the land? Why would they not be counted in Numbers 26? He said, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. That tells me how God feels about complaining. A number of times in connection with this, we read where the people were said to have murmured. It goes down in history in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 27. The Lord said, ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. What were they doing in their tents? They were murmuring. They were complaining. And God heard that, and God did not like that. The psalmist also picks up on that in the history of this time in Psalm 106 and in verse 25. It is written, but murmured in their tents. And so they go down as a people that were murmuring or complaining in their tents. What do I learn from that? I learned that I ought not complain. I don't have any business murmuring. I need to be content. I need to be satisfied. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. And what happened? The Bible says we're destroyed of the destroyer. That's what happens to those who complain and those who murmur. In ancient times, they were destroyed of the destroyer. We need to learn, as Paul taught in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You can't be blameless or harmless as a son of God if you're murmuring or disputing. And so I learned from the fact that there was not a man, save Caleb and Joshua, don't be a complainer. But also I learned from not a man, the fact that we need to follow the Lord fully. You know, there's a difference in two groups of people. There are those of whom it is said they didn't wholly follow the Lord, or they didn't follow the Lord fully. And then there are those, a minority, who go down in history as having followed the Lord fully. I wonder, where would we have been? Where are we today? Are we following the Lord fully? Are we following the Lord wholly or not? God knows. He knew then and He knows today. Notice in Numbers 14 and in verse 24, in contrast with those who had not seen the land, God says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me, how? Fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Caleb. I'd like for God to be able to say, my servant, and put my name there, and had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Here's not something that the man said about himself. It's not what other men said about him, but it's what God said about the man. God said, my servant Caleb had another spirit, followed me fully. God knows if we're following him or not. He knows whether we're following him fully. And we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're following him fully. And others may say, he's following the Lord fully. But I'm wondering, would God say that of you? Would God say that of me? Hath followed me fully. Numbers 14 and verse 24. Also in the record, this is interjected in Numbers chapter 32. Notice in Numbers 32 and in verse 11, the Lord said, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Why would they not see the land? Why not? Because they have not wholly followed me. Again, that's what God said. Why was there not left among them a man? Not a man, save Caleb and Joshua. Because they didn't follow the Lord fully. He said, they have not wholly followed me. Now look at verse 12. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Why are they going to enter? Why are they going to be allowed entrance into the land? He said, for they have wholly followed the Lord. See the difference? You got two groups of people, don't you? They have not wholly followed me. They have wholly followed the Lord. Which group are you in today? Are you among those of whom it could be said they have not wholly followed me, or they have wholly followed the Lord? God knows. Which group are you in today? Also, in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 36. Again, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children. Why? Why would he see it? Why not the others? Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. You can't get away from that, can you? I urge you to highlight those words. Wholly followed the Lord. And then a number of times in the book of conquest, as the people cross the Jordan, take possession of the promised land. In Joshua chapter 14, when Hebron was given to Caleb. Joshua 14 and in verse 7, Caleb reminisces of the spy time when 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I, listen, wholly follow the Lord my God. Would you have been able to say that? 85 years now, 45 years later, he can say, I wholly follow the Lord. And then in verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then again, verse 14, not just once or twice, three times of Caleb, but it's said here in this chapter, Joshua 14, he wholly followed the Lord. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What do you learn from the fact that there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua? I learned that I need to follow the Lord fully, because entrance into the land depended on it, didn't it? How can I go to heaven? How can I hear the Lord say, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, if I don't follow my Lord fully? Are you following the Lord fully today? But then again, I learned from not a man save Caleb and Joshua that I don't need to be discouraged or be a discourager. You know, another thing that contributed to the fact that there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua was discouragement. You see the devastating effect of discouragement in this wilderness wandering time. In Numbers, the 32nd chapter, verse 9 said, for when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Why did they not go into the land? Because they were discouraged. And then reference is made to that again in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying. Now notice that discouragement came from what was said. Did you know that you can discourage people by what you say? You can use your mouth to encourage people, to build people up, or you can use your mouth in a discouraging way that causes their heart to melt. I need to be careful what I say and measure what I say by the effect it has on other people. Does it cause them to be encouraged or discouraged? Notice, they have discouraged our heart. Who had discouraged their heart? Our brethren. You know, your greatest source of encouragement and discouragement could be your own brethren. You know, your brethren can build you up and they can tear you down. They can encourage or they can discourage. And I learned from not a man save Caleb and Joshua that I don't need to be a brother who discourages. I need to be a brother who encourages. Because there may be some who don't enter the land. They don't go to heaven because of discouragement from their brethren. He said, our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying. What'd they say? The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. You remember that report from Numbers chapter 13, don't you? When they brought back word, verse 26, and in verse 28, they said, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And in verse 31, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In verse 32, all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You know what they're speaking? The language of discouragement. Wouldn't that have discouraged you? We can't do this. The people are taller and stronger than we. And so our brethren have discouraged our heart. They didn't go in the land because of discouragement. What do I learn from that? I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be a discourager. You got to watch it from two standpoints. Don't be a source of it, and don't listen to it. When there are people who are speaking the language of discouragement, don't tune into that. Don't listen to that. Don't pay any attention to that. Have another spirit like Caleb. Be like Caleb and be like Joshua, who did not yield to the discouragement language that was being spoken. There was not a man among them save Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because of discouragement. But also I learned from this that I need to believe the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 beginning, it is said, the Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Why would they not enter the land? Because they didn't believe. Highlight, did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon and to his children because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Why would Caleb see it? Why would Joshua see it? Because they believed the Lord. Notice of the others that is said, they did not believe. In verse 32, in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. You see, to fully follow the Lord, you have to believe the Lord. Would you believe the Lord? They should have believed the Lord. They had every reason to believe the Lord. Look at all the Lord had done for them. He had gone before them, fought for them, all that he did for them in Egypt, all that he had done already in the wilderness, and yet they did not believe. I learned from that. I need to believe the Lord. No matter what he says, I need to take the Lord at his word. The psalmist as well in Psalm 106 highlighted their unbelief. He said in Psalm 106 and verse 24, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. That's the problem. They did not believe his word. And thus they entered not in because of unbelief. The Hebrew writer makes that clear. In Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 18, he said, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. And again, in chapter 4 and verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why didn't they enter in? Because of unbelief. Couldn't be any clearer, could it? I learned from Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. God said he would give them the land. God said he'd bring them into the land. You remember the great promises that God made when he selected Moses to be the leader of his people from Egyptian bondage. He said in Exodus 6, 6 and 7, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'll rid you out of their bondage. I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. In verse 8, he said, I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage, I am the Lord. Would you have taken the Lord at his word? Would you have believed the Lord when he said, I will bring you unto the land and I will give it you? I need to believe the Lord. They didn't believe the Lord. That's why there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua. Would you have been there? Would you have been Caleb? Would you have been Joshua? Would you have believed the Lord? But also, I learned not to rebel. Did you know that there's a group of people here that go down in history as rebels? They're rebels. Deuteronomy 1 and in verse 26. The Lord said, notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. God wanted them to go up and take the land, but they wouldn't go up. You know the word the Bible uses to describe a person who refuses to do what the Lord says? It's the word rebel. He said they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. That's what was going on. In Numbers chapter 14 again, notice in verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. Their confidence was in the Lord. And they knew these people were rebelling against the Lord. And that's why their appeal was, rebel not ye against the Lord. Numbers 14:9. Also in Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, in verses 23 and 24, it is written, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the command of the Lord, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. That's not a complimentary expression. Can you imagine that? You've been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. They had a history of being rebellious, of rebelling against the command of the Lord, not hearkening to his voice. And then in the book of Joshua in chapter 1, when Joshua succeeded Moses in leadership of the people in crossing the Jordan and taking possession of the land, notice the appeal in Joshua 1 verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And so the death penalty was enacted upon those who would rebel against the command of the Lord and not hearken unto the words of God. So to not go up was to rebel, wasn't it? And so I learned from the fact that there was not a man, save Caleb and Joshua, not to rebel against the Lord. But also I learned that folks who were once saved were afterward destroyed. We have a common doctrine in the religious world circulated known as once saved, always saved. You know, that wasn't true of these people. Once saved, always saved. In fact, Jude, when he comments on this, here's what he had to say in verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Were they saved? Were they once saved? Absolutely, he said they were. He said, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, they were once saved. But those who were once saved, what happened to them? Afterward, destroyed. The psalmist drives that point home as well in Psalm 106, when he said in verse 10, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Were they saved? He said they were. Saved them. But then notice what happened to those who are once saved. Verse 26, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. And so those who are once saved are later overthrown. And so this idea of God's people once saved, always saved has never been true. That wasn't true of those who were saved out of Egypt. They were saved at once, but then afterward they were destroyed. That tells me that I can so conduct myself in such a way after I become a child of God that I can be overthrown. I can be in danger of perishing. Just like in Acts 8, after Simon was baptized and he was told, "Thy money perish with thee. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." He was in danger of perishing. And the Lord said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Luke 13, 3 and 5. Though it's commonly advocated and widely believed, once saved, always saved. The fact that there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua tells me it's not so. For there are people who were once saved who are afterward destroyed. And I don't want to be among those who are once saved and afterward destroyed. I want to be among those who are saved and enter the land. How about you? But then again, I learned from not a man save Caleb and Joshua the need to please the Lord. We heard it read in our reading, 1 Corinthians 10, 5. Paul talked about those that were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. That's the baptism of Moses when they crossed the Red Sea. And he said that with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why were they overthrown in the wilderness? Why was there not a man save Caleb and Joshua? Because with many of them, God was not well pleased. Is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with me? It ought to be my desire to be well-pleasing to God. There's always been two groups of people: those that please God and those who He's not pleased with. What happened to those with whom He was not well-pleased? They were overthrown in the wilderness. Remember, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. He had this testimony that he pleased God, Hebrews 11 and in verse 5. Paul wrote, writing the Colossians in chapter 1, in verse 10, his desire and prayer for the Colossians was that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. And John penned in 1 John 3 and in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to pray and have confidence that God hears your prayer, then you got to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Please the Lord. Also, I learned from the fact that there was not a man that I need to take heed. Read 1 Corinthians 10 again, the first 12 verses. All the things that happened to those that were once saved, afterward overthrown. And Paul said, all these things happened unto them for in samples. And they're written, why? For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You think you stand? Take heed, lest you fall. We learn from those who are overthrown in the wilderness that you can fall. And we must take heed lest we fall today. And that's the warning of the Hebrew writer. He talked about how they did not enter in because of unbelief. And he said in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And Hebrews 4 and 1, he said, let us therefore fear us, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There is danger of coming short. There is danger of doing too little. There is danger of not doing enough. Yes, there is danger of coming short. And then in verse 11 he said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I need to take heed lest I fall. And if you do fall, get up again. Because we have mercy in Jesus. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. First John 1 and verse 9. Take heed. You know the teaching of the impossibility of apostasy? Once saved, always saved makes that unnecessary language. You might as well cut those passages out if that doctrine be true. No need to take heed. But if we must take heed, then that doctrine is false. And while there are a good number of other things that might be mentioned, one more that stands out from the fact that there was not a man save Caleb and Joshua. And that is, I need to hearken unto the Lord. I need to hear and heed what God says. The psalmist in Psalm 106 and in verse 25 said, they murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Why did they not enter the land? Why was there not a man save Caleb and Joshua? Because they hearkened not unto the Lord. And that goes back to Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 22, where it is said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Why not? Have not hearkened to my voice. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Numbers 26, 64 and 65, in the second numbering of the children of Israel, there was not a man left. 20 years old and upward, such as were able to go forth the word. Not a one. Save Caleb and Joshua. I want to be like Caleb and Joshua. Don't you? I don't want to be like those of whom it is said, not a man left, overthrown in the wilderness, that were destroyed. And here's 10 things that stand out. God means what he says. Don't complain. Follow the Lord fully. Don't discourage or be discouraged. Believe the Lord. Don't rebel. Understand that those who are once saved can afterward be destroyed. Please the Lord. Take heed and hearken to the Lord. Appreciate the kind way that you've listened. Should there be one or more who needs to obey the gospel of Christ, all things have been made ready and are convenient, that you might put on Christ this very day, hearing the word of the Lord, would you believe it? Repent of your sin, confess your faith. I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, and be buried with Christ in baptism, to rise to walk in newness of life for the remission of your sins, added to the church of Christ by the Lord himself, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, following the Lord fully, believing the Lord, hearkening to the voice of the Lord, so that heaven, our Canaan land, our rest can be yours. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you become unfaithful, you've drifted away, you've been complaining, you've been rebelling, you've not been obeying the voice of the Lord, you need to make that right. You need to ask for God's forgiveness. Repent and pray. As together we stand and sing, are you washed in the blood? Won't you come?